The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday after Trinity is from Genesis chapter 50. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now, please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive, as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 12. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the sixth chapter. Jesus said, "Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." He also told them a parable. "Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye,' when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye." This is the gospel of our Lord. Our text this morning is the gospel lesson that was just read, Luke 6, 36 to 42. The sermon title is "The Christian Arts of Mercy, Tolerance, Forgiveness, and Charity." Art is a word that can be used in a variety of ways. We call the fine arts the disciplines of music, theater, painting, sculpture, poetry, oratory, and literature. We call liberal arts the seven ancient academic disciplines: grammar, logic, rhetoric, mathematics, geometry, astronomy, and harmonics, as well as their modern equivalents. To whatever we apply the term art, it means a discipline that is taught by a teacher to a student with standards and classical examples, which requires practice to gain mastery, and which produces a result that is beneficial and appreciated by society. The followers of Christ also have their arts that fit this definition. In addition to the arts of worship, prayer, scriptural exegesis, and the teaching of doctrine, we Christians also have several arts in the areas of life and behavior. Some of these arts of the Christian life are unique to the Christian church. Others are in common with the Jewish people. Still others you might find in any of the great religions or philosophies of the world. In our gospel lesson today, we see Jesus teaching his disciples about the Christian arts of life in the areas of mercy, tolerance, forgiveness, and charity. These arts of the Christian life are disciplines that are taught by a teacher to a student, with Jesus being the first teacher. These arts have standards and classical examples, such as David's mercy on Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan. That's 2 Samuel chapter 4 and 2 Samuel 21. These arts require practice to gain mastery, as anyone who has tried to forgive a grievous injury knows. It is not easy. Finally, these arts of the Christian life produce a result that is certainly appreciated by Jesus, his Father, the Holy Spirit, but also the saints in heaven, the Christian church, and often even by non-Christians, especially when it is directed their way. Our gospel lesson is part of the larger discourse of Jesus that is known as the Sermon on the Plain. That is to distinguish it from his longer discourse on a mountain in Galilee known as the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Plain has a total of 16 imperatives or commands. Our gospel has only the latter five imperatives. Again, be merciful, don't judge, don't condemn, forgive, and give. The first Christian art in our text is that of mercy. And we all know what that term means in common use. We think of a person who is merciful, who is ready to sympathize with his or her fellow man. Someone who is kind and friendly toward his neighbor. Someone who is genuinely concerned about the needs and misfortunes of other people's body, soul, property, or reputation. Someone who thinks of ways to help his fellow man and proves this concern by his deeds, doing them joyfully and gladly. One does not need to be a Christian to show mercy in this way. But then Jesus puts a finer edge on mercy by saying, "You must be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful." So what's the difference? Well, even a non-Christian, even a criminal, can show mercy to his friends or to people in his or her group. If we want to practice the Christian art of mercy, the Christian one, we must be merciful as our Heavenly Father is and show mercy to everyone. That includes the people we don't like, those who dislike us and persecute us or harm us, and people whom we think are not even worthy of a civil greeting. Christians are to show mercy to all. You see, God the Father is merciful to all sinners, to everyone in the world, all of them who offend his laws, and we all sin. He is not only merciful and ready to forgive, but he also gave up his only son to be humiliated, to suffer, to die on the cross, and to take eternal punishment in our stead. And that was all while we were still sinners, that is, enemies of God. All of that, Christ died for us, Romans 5, verse 8. So the art of Christian mercy is in showing it to everyone, good, bad, beautiful, ugly, smart, stupid, friend, or enemy, to all equally and alike. Next is the Christian art of tolerance. Now, the words that Jesus uses in verse 37 are judge not and condemn not. But our English word tolerance comes closer to expressing what this means. Tolerance means accepting people who are different from you, who act different from you, and who may, in various ways, offend you because of their minor failings. This is what Jesus meant in verse 41 to 42 when he talks about the speck in your brother's eye. Christian tolerance recognizes that I, the one who sees the speck in your eye, I got a big old log of sin there. Those who practice this art have the promise that God will not condemn them in verse 37. Now, verses 37, 41, and 42 in the area of tolerance do not pertain to those who have the office or responsibility of judging, rebuking, and/or correcting. Such people include judges, police, governors, mayors, pastors, teachers, managers, and other supervisors, and parents. They have the God-given job of judging, and in some cases, condemning and punishing, for the good of the offender and the good of society. For example, if parents were not to judge the behavior of their children and just let their kids do whatever they want, society would be in mass chaos. Well, I think that explains a lot, doesn't it? Just think about it. So, Jesus is saying, if someone commits a crime or serious offense, don't judge them or punish them yourself. Report their deed to the proper authority, and let the authority judge, condemn, and punish. That's all part of this art of tolerance. Next is the Christian art of forgiveness. As with the previous art, this one has a promise attached to it. If you, in your heart, forgive your fellow man who has offended you, you in turn will be forgiven by God and by men. This is the meaning of the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer: forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. What does this mean? Well, Luther explains this one for us in the Small Catechism, the explanation of the fifth petition. He says, we pray in this petition that our Heavenly Father may not look upon our sins and on their account deny our prayers, for we neither merit nor deserve those things for which we pray. Although we sin daily and deserve nothing but punishment, we nevertheless pray that God may grant us all things by his grace. And assuredly, we on our part will heartily forgive and cheerfully do good to those who may sin against us. Finally, there is the Christian art of charity. As with the previous, this one has a promise attached. If you from your heart give to your fellow man who is in need, God will give to you from the treasury of his bounty. The example that Jesus gives is of a grain harvest, where the one receiving the grain gets as much and is more than he can carry. That's about packing it down into the bag. That's the language there. Even so, Christians strive to give, to supply the physical needs of the poor and needy. That's what we usually call charity. And especially to meet the needs of the spiritually poor through Christian mission work and evangelism, wherever the spiritually poor and unbelievers may be in the world. Such giving is not from compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. When we hear about these four Christian arts of mercy, tolerance, forgiveness, and charity, all that we hear is law, what you and I have to do. And they are expressed as imperative verbs, and so they are law. And this is taught by Jesus in the form of the third use of the law, that is, a guide to Christian behavior. But because we fail to practice these arts, and I do too, we also hear these words as the second use of the law, that is, they show us our sin and our failure. So, is this just a law text today? Is there any gospel? Well, yes, at the very beginning in verse 36, Jesus says it all. The gospel's right there. Your Father is merciful. That is the essence of the gospel. That's the definition of grace. Because your Father's mercy covers all your sins and all your failings, whether they're the failures of the four Christian arts in our text or any of the other commandments in Scripture. You have a gracious God, a loving God, who wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2:3. For this reason, he sent his Son Jesus into the world to take away your sins and your failings and to give to you his own righteousness through baptism and through faith. And from that basis, Christians can learn and practice the arts of mercy, tolerance, forgiveness, and charity. Even so, may the Holy Spirit inspire within you a love for your fellow man, so that you may be a true artist of the Christian life. In Jesus' name, amen.